Welcome to Black at School, the USC Race and Equity Center's series on addressing racial problems that disadvantage Black students across America. Black at School offers parents and families language, tools, and strategies to disrupt racism and racial inequalities in classrooms, in curriculum, and in their children's interactions with peers and educators. In this episode, Sean Harper, the Clifford and Betty Allen Professor in the Rossier School of Education at the University of Southern California, offers guidance on what to do when kids who aren't Black do or say racist things to Black students in schools. Dr. Harper is the USC Race and Equity Center's founder and executive director and a past president of the American Educational Research Association. Harvard Education Press recently published his 12th book, The Big Lie About Race in America's Schools. Let's hear now from Professor Harper.
The topic for today's session is, what do you do when one kid says something racist or does something racist to your child? Professor Dequeer Gumby gave us this amazing session last month on what to do when teachers and staff and school leaders do and say something racist, but I'm going to talk about peer-to-peer interactions. Let me start by first making sure that we all know why this happens. It happens way too often in schools, and Black children are too often on the receiving end of racist comments and behaviors from their peers. I have about a half dozen explanations, and then I'm going to give you the tips, the practical strategies. Let's rule one thing out. A kid doesn't say or do something racist because they were born racist. There's no scientific evidence to suggest or confirm that anyone has a genetic predisposition to growing up to being a racist. So I just want to make sure that we rule that out, right? That's not the reason why. You know, part of why we see such high levels of racial incidents peer-to-peer in schools is that children do and say and pick up what they hear from their parents, from their family members, from racist folks in their neighborhoods and so on. They also pick up racism from TV and from social media and from movies and also from video games. I only in recent years came to understand what actually happens when your kid is on that little headset gaming with other kids. Oftentimes when they're talking and they're in chat, there's a lot of racism that happens there. Jessica and I have a colleague, Brandisha Tynes, here at the University of Southern California, who studies children's encounters with racism online, including in video games. So again, you know, part of why we see it in schools is that kids are getting it from social media, video games, TV, and from their family members. Another explanation is that parents and educators alike presume that children know better, that they know right from wrong when it comes to racism. How would they know if we have not taught them, right? Sometimes well-intended parents will engage in some form of colorblind messaging by saying to their kid, well, you know that all kids are created equal, you know, things like that. But those are not explicit racial do's and don'ts. Don't call a Black child the N-word. Don't put a noose on a tree at the school. You know, those kinds of things. You know, those are things that, I don't know, somehow adults presume that children just know, right? The next explanation is somewhat related to the previous. Schools do not teach enough about race and racism and what constitutes racism and racist acts. I don't care what Elon Musk is telling you. I don't care what Ron DeSantis is telling you about these two woke schools where all of this race teaching is happening. It ain't happening. That is so inconsistent with my research, but also with my practice. I am literally in schools all across the country all the time. And I'm telling you right now that kids are not learning what constitutes racism. So no wonder they do and say racist things, because again, parents and educators presume that they know better and that there is not a place to learn how to do better or learn right from wrong within the formal curriculum. Some schools have longstanding cultures, low accountability cultures, cultures where kids for years and years, and perhaps even for generations, have been allowed to engage in racist bullying and other forms of racism without accountability from the principals, school leaders, and teachers. So after a while, when this stuff becomes unchecked, unchecked behaviors then become cultural norms within the school. The last explanation that I will offer is that on the one hand, I acknowledge that nobody is born racist, right? I'm a researcher. I really respect what the research says. The research says ain't nobody born racist. But sometimes, though, kids do intentionally say and do racist things to their peers, right? Again, without accountability. So there's the larger school culture that lacks accountability, but there's also accountability, a lack thereof, for individual kids when they do and say racist things. And when they are not held accountable as individuals, then they're more likely to repeat those same offenses. Their peers will see them do and say these things without any repercussions. And they, as individuals, will also begin to do and say those same kinds of harmful things without any accountability. All right, let's do this. I don't want to take for granted that everybody knows what in the world I'm talking about as it pertains to racist incidents in schools. So I'm going to give you an example, not from 1964, but literally from 14 months ago. Let's take just a couple minutes to watch a quick video of an example of a racist incident that happened in an elementary school, not far from where Jessica and I both live and work. All right, let's take a look.
Students at an Upland elementary school are upset after getting racist drawings from their classmates. Now their parents are demanding answers. It is not the first time the Upland Unified School District has experienced this type of racism, but parents hope it will be the last.
KTLA's Shelby Nelson is live in Upland with a story you'll see only on 5. Shelby?
Yeah, sure, Micah. These parents are frustrated. They are angry, understandably. And one parent tells me that his child specifically has repeatedly been taunted and called monkey. Now, we do want to warn you, some of these drawings and images are offensive to some.
It almost doesn't seem real, just that it's that blatant. And I think that's what's the most scary.
They're images that are sending shockwaves through the Upland Unified School District, a series of racist drawings one sixth grader allegedly gave to a fellow black student, one of them saying, "You're my favorite monkey," and another to "my favorite cotton picker." The mother of the student who received them telling KTLA she has since pulled her daughter from school after continued harassment by students. Another family, parents Melana and Rome Douglas, have three kids attending the same school.
They said they were going to give her one that specifically said, "You're my favorite slave," and they were going to show her as a slave hanging from the tree.
The Douglases say that a group of girls claimed they'd give their daughter back rubs and massages, saying,
"It's Black History Month, it's your month, so you're entitled to back rubs." And apparently someone told her, "Well, maybe only half the month because you're only half black."
I want to make it perfectly clear that we have a strict zero tolerance policy on any type of hate speech, harassment.
The district uploaded a video to YouTube on the recent matter one day after the principal of Pepper Tree sent out a letter to parents, but that came 2 weeks after the incident actually happened.
I'm hoping that the district does not brush this under the rug as they brushed issues under the rug in the past.
PTA president at the school, Robin Allen, says families demand answers.
We want to know what zero tolerance policy means. This is not the first time a situation like this has happened. It's not going to be the last time that the situation happens, but the most important thing is our response to the situation.
Okay, in the interest of time, I will stop there. obviously a very, very, very disgusting, horrifying, unacceptable situation that happened in 2023 in a school here, just 30 miles east of Los Angeles. Imagine, right, if this happened in LA and Southern California, just imagine, right, what could happen in other geographic regions around the country. All right, so what do you do, right, when and if this happens? Let me acknowledge that I put in the chat the link to a Forbes article that I wrote specifically about the Pepper Tree Elementary incident. You know, I would say about a third of it is specifically about that incident, but two-thirds of it is offering guidance to school leaders when kids do and say racist things. Please, this article is open access. You don't have to be a Forbes subscriber. Please send this to your children's superintendent, principal, assistant principal, and other school leaders, because it gives guidance to them on what to do when things like this happen in their schools. I also uploaded to the chat a PDF of the pathetic letter that the principal wrote to the school community. I will let you judge for yourself the goodness or lack thereof of the letter. I already called it pathetic. Sorry that I contaminated your appraisal of it. But it gives you just an example, right, of what typically happens if an incident rises to the level of reaching the local news or national news. That's when we tend to see a statement from the principal or the superintendent or from the school board. And almost always that statement is lacking. So I just put an example of that in the chat from this particular school. Okay, so what do you do if and when your kid experiences a peer-to-peer racist incident? First and obviously, most importantly, is to check in, obviously, with your kid, to ask your kid how she, he, or they are feeling, how the incident landed on them. Did it make them mad? Did it make them sad? Did it make them, you know, whatever? It's really important to spend time with your kids, just really understanding, you know, how it landed on them. And, you know, if your kid has the emotional capacity or, you know, the level of maturity, you might also ask, you know, why do you think this happened in your school? To provide some space for your kid to, you know, potentially make sense of the incident. So I think that's really, really, really important. It's the most important to check in with the kid, right? I also think that it is important to get ahead of these situations, to not wait, in fact, for your kid to be harmed by one of them, but to go to your kids' teachers, principals, and school leaders right now, as in tomorrow, to ask them, hey, what do you all have in place? What protocols do you have in place to ensure that kids are not inflicting racial harm on each other? Again, a lot of times we presume that folks at the school, you know what to do. Well, according to these poll results that I haven't showed y'all, maybe you don't have as much confidence as a lot of other Black parents and families do. I'll share with you the results during the discussion. But the point here, right, is that oftentimes we just assume that, well, yeah, if something goes down at school, the school is going to know what to do. I don't think you should presume that. I think you should ask. When you send them the link to my Forbes article or whatever, I think you should ask your principal, your kid's principal, and the teachers, you know, what do you all have in place to prevent incidents like the one at Pepper Tree? And I could give you 100 other incidents across the country where peers have said and done racist things. Like, I don't know, like, I think, you know, just a matter of strategy, asking, you know, your school what they have in place. Third, it links back in part to the first one. Even if your child says, oh, mama or daddy, I'm good. No worries. Not a big deal. It didn't make me cry. It's unfortunate, but I'm okay. Even if your child says that they're okay, I still think that you should meet with their teachers and school leaders. Notice that I didn't just say meet only with the teachers, right? It's a meeting with the teachers and the principal, if you can get the principal. That is my strong preference, my strong recommendation. Maybe you could settle for an assistant principal, but you know, really, it's the teacher and the principal that you wanna meet with, right? I think you need to call a meeting with those folks, and you need to make sure that they know, you know, why and how this was not okay, how it affected your child. Even if your kid says, oh, it didn't affect me that much, tell them how it affects you as the parent or the guardian of a Black child, right? I think it's really important to call a meeting with those folks. In that meeting, you should ask them, why do you think this happened in this school? Why do you think it happened? Do you think it was a one-off? Or do things like this happen all the time? They're going to say, oh, no. Things like this don't. No, ma'am. No, sir. How can you be so sure? We only know about this, the parent, me, and you, the teacher and principal, because my child told me. What about all the other children who may not report? So how can you be so sure that these things are not happening to my child and to other Black children? Then you should ask the principal and the teachers, what do you think should be done in response to this incident? Start there, right? Again, start by helping them understand what happened, why it was not okay, how it affected your child and or your family. Second, then engage them in this line of questioning about why do you think this happened? How commonplace is it? Could it happen again? What do you think should be done? Then be prepared for them to flip the script on you and ask you, what do you think should be done? Go into the school prepared to say, right, what you think should be done. Don't lead with that. Make space for them to say what they think should be done. They're the people who were paid to work at the school, right? Put the burden and the onus on them to do both the emotional work and the problem-solving work before you then tell them what you think should be done. I know that there is a natural inclination to say, I think that kid should be kicked out of school. They should be suspended or expelled. There's a natural inclination to want that to be the outcome. But I think you got to have some other things on your list in addition to or in lieu of suspension and expulsion, because, you know, without an investigation or whatever, they might hit you with a, well, we got to do due process. We got to have an investigation, blah, blah, blah. We can't just kick a kid out of school. I mean, low key, they would if the kid was Black, but you got to stay focused. So you need to have some other things on your list beyond suspension and expulsion that constitutes what we call restorative justice. What would make this situation right for your kid, for other Black kids, and for other Black families? You got to be prepared to answer that question. My sixth recommendation for you is to ask for a facilitated meeting with the parents or the family members of the other kid, the kid who did or said the racist thing to your kid. This is a way of you strongly signaling to the teacher and the school leaders, like, no, I'm not just going to walk away after this like little one-time meeting. We're going to meet again. And next time I want to meet with the kid's parents here, and I want you to facilitate it. Put the onus on them to facilitate. Black people got enough to do already. Don't do other people's work for them. Teachers and certainly school leaders are paid to solve problems and to lead. So you say to them, I want a meeting with the other kid's parents. I want you to call it. I want you to facilitate it, right? In that meeting, it is important for that other kid's parents to hear why this was wrong, how it affected your kid and or how it affected your family, right? Same thing. Ask the other kid's parents, what do you think should be done to make this right? Your kid is the one who inflicted the harm. What do you think should be done? And just sit back and wait for them to give you the answer. If their answer is in fact unsatisfactory to you, tell them, no, that is unacceptable to me. That's not a satisfying, that does not constitute restorative justice. Here are some things that I think are some ways forward for us as parents and family members, but also for the educators in the room. Here's what I think has to happen, right? That's really important. The seventh recommendation I have for you is to not keep this private. Please do tell parents and family members of other Black children what happened to your Black child. Tell them. Get them on the phone, call a meeting with them, get them on a Zoom. As many parents who have Black children as possible, get them together and tell them, can you believe what happened to my kid? What little Tommy over here did and said to my kid that was racist and just completely out of bounds. And it is important for you to use it as an opportunity, a therapeutic opportunity to process with other parents and family members of Black kids, but also to seek their advice and for you all to collaboratively and collectively, you know, think about ways to express your high expectation to the school, that the school, you know, address this particular situation and safeguard other Black children from experiencing variations thereof. I think it is important for you to invite those other parents of Black children to say, also, if their kids are having similar experiences, right? Because there's a real chance that it's not just yours. The eighth recommendation here is to ask the school leaders how they are going to minimize recurrence. So earlier I talked about asking them literally tomorrow, asking them tomorrow, what do you have in place? What would you do if and when, right? Do that tomorrow. But in the aftermath of a racist incident, when one kid has done something racist in your kid's school, ask those folks, okay, now how are you going to stop this from happening again? You showed me your protocol back on April 10, 2024. This thing has happened in October 24. How are you going to revise the protocol, add to it, so on and so forth? What is your plan? What is going to be your strategy moving forward to ensure that other Black kids and other children of color don't experience this ever again in this school? The ninth recommendation is related to the eighth, in a way, really. You must insist on professional development, on professional learning for teachers, staff, and school leaders around responding to racial incidents. To be honest with you, you need to insist on that tomorrow. But certainly, if there is a racist incident that happens in your kid's school, you have to use that as an opportunity to remind these folks that the people who work here need skills, they need strategies, they need rehearsal opportunities, they need case studies that they can work through and learn from so that they know how to minimize the recurrence of these kinds of situations and not have them happen at all, but also so that they know what to do when they occur. My 10th and final recommendation is to insist on follow-ups. You know, I already told you, please do not let this be a one-time meeting with just you, the teacher, and the school leaders. Don't let it be just a two-time meeting with you, those folks, and the parents of the kid who did the racist thing. You need to follow up 6 weeks later, 3 months later, a year later, asking, now, what is your plan? Can I see it? You all have had 6 months to work on it. You said you were working on it. Let me and the other Black parents and the other parents of Black children, let us see what the plan is looking like. What trainings have you done for teachers? Oh, y'all did a one-time implicit bias workshop. Well, what happened here wasn't about necessarily, in this case, teachers having implicit bias. It was about what to do when racism occurs in the classroom. Y'all ain't had no workshops on that. When are you going to schedule those, right? How have those trainings gone? What did the evaluation of the training say? What did the teachers and the school leaders and staff say about the goodness or lack thereof of those trainings? You know, you just got to follow up with these folks, because if you don't, again, there's a real risk that your kid's school will become a cultural site for the reproduction, the cyclical reproduction of racist incidents from peer to peer.